Hannah was advanced in years and had been childless, and she was in the temple praying, and the priest there in the temple thought she was drunk because she was mumbling. And he says, you know, go drink your wine someplace else. And she says, no, I was just praying my heart out to the Lord. And he told her, whatever that you ask of the Lord will be given to you. And of course, she was praying for a child. So a year later, she returns and she tells that priest, I was the woman standing there next to you praying. I asked for this child and here it is. So the name was given Samuel. Samuel was one of the judges. He was the one who anointed King David. And so he was given over to the temple for his life. Now, she says, I give him to you as a perpetual Nazirite. Nazirites were people who took a vow, usually some temporary vow, but she says, I'm giving him to you as a perpetual Nazirite. In other words, for his whole life. And so it becomes a kind of a symbol of this gift from God that is returned by us. We receive the gift and we return it. And that's what our relationship with God basically is. We humans, out of all of creation, have the ability to recognize what has been given to us, to be grateful for it, and to return it. And Jesus, come into human flesh, receives life from God and from Mary, and he gives it back to God on the cross. Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. And that's what we do every time we celebrate the liturgy. We lay our lives on the altar along with Christ, and we give ourselves back to God wholly and completely, not just something out of our pocket. The collection symbolizes that, but it's more than that. It's our very selves. But somehow, humanity is destined for the temple. It's destined for God. It's destined for Nazirite to be dedicated to God perpetually. And so Jesus, the irony, we don't want to miss the irony here. He's lost in the temple for 3 days. But he's not really lost because that's where he belongs. Already at the age of 12, there's something in him that recognizes that his destiny is the temple. And later on, as he matures and finds more favor between God and humans, the maturity of that changes his emphasis to some extent. He doesn't want to be in the temple. He recognizes that he is the temple. And so at one point, he tells people, tear this building down, tear this temple down, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they say, it took 46 years to build this temple. How are you going to restore it in 3 days? But later on, his disciples realized that he wasn't really talking about the building. He was talking about his body. He is the temple. He is God in human flesh. He is the Son. But he's with a body. And so he shows us in his humanness what it looks like to be divine. To be divine in a human body, to be divine and human at the same time. And he's always beckoning us into the same thing. Now, that second reading from the first letter of John, John reminds his readers that we are already called children of God because we are. And that's pretty much directly quoted in the rite of baptism. After we baptize a child and bring them down in front of the altar, the priest says, this child is now called a child of God, for so indeed she is. Quoting that text from John. We already are children of God, he says. What we will later be has not yet come to light, but we know one thing, that we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our destiny is to be like Christ. Our destiny, symbolized by our baptism into Christ. You know, Yes, baptism is a saying no to sin and death. Yes, baptism is a washing away of sin. Yes, it's entrance into the family of God, the church, and all that sort of thing. But mostly, it's baptism into Christ so that we become his body. To be a member of the church is to be a member of the body of Christ. To be a member of Christ is to have his spirit dwelling within us. You know, sometimes, well, I think most of the time, Christians have a tendency to talk about God as up there or out there, some, you know, transcendent, distant, and there's a truth in that. But one of the things that John's writings are always telling us is, but he's really in here. Yes, he dwells above the heavens, but by choice, he's in here. And so that's why we call our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit, because ever since our baptism, the Holy Spirit has dwelt there. God is inside of us. And when we take God inside of us in the Eucharist, eating his body and drinking his blood, that's merely symbolic of something that was already there. You know, was Christ somewhere out there away from us until we consumed him in the Eucharist? Well, not really, because he's been in there ever since our baptism. But the ritual of processing to the altar and taking him into our bodies, it strengthens our belief in that. It strengthens our hope. This is the Feast of the Holy Family, and Christ comes into a sinful world, a world that's tainted by original sin, damaged goods, you might say. But as St. Paul reminds us, Christ didn't wait for us to be perfected. He died for us while we were still sinners. He enters into the human condition in its frailty, in its weakness, and in its sin. You see, God isn't so bothered by our sin. He simply wants something more for us. If anything, he might be a little disappointed that we don't want it as much as he does. But God comes into our human condition as it is, into our human family, and invites us into the divine family. You know, there's always something about family life that is passing. We receive children from God, but then a few years later, we have to let them go. And we become empty nesters, you know. And hard as that is, it's just the way life is. And we can see that in a secular sense as well. You know, they grow up and they leave. But in a divine sense, and that's the context out of which we're always worshiping here. In that divine sense, it's just a reminder that they never really belong to us anyway. They always belong to God. They're perpetual Nazarites. And so are we. We left our parents at some point because we were dedicated, like Samuel, like Jesus, dedicated to the temple, dedicated to dwelling in God and having God dwelling in us.